to episode 6. We have a special guest today, Pastor. Are you going to go by Reverend? Which one you want?
Yeah, Pastor's fine.
Pastor?
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
We could have went by brother, but sure. Yeah. Okay.
Brother works. I don't care.
Brother, Pastor. Yeah.
Or just four. Tim. I'm good with just Tim.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All right, Tim Shirley. it was good to have you here. Thank you for agreeing.
Absolutely.
And, self incriminating yourself here.
Yeah, looking forward to it. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So, signing our life away.
Episode 6 already, guys. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a start from where we began with just an idea.
Yeah.
Isaiah's still with us. He's in the corner over here hiding.
What's up, Zaya?
Yep.
What's up?
So
y'all missing out.
But yeah, you know, today we're going to kind of take a trip back memory lane a little bit with you here. It's going to probe your mind some and see if maybe we can help some other people
that are
maybe thinking about getting into ministry or are in ministry.
Yeah.
Particularly about being a pastor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I really think that's a kind of a broad topic. Probably could go hours on it, which we're not. But
we are. No, we're not.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to tell you, this could be part 2. Like, we could need 2 parts to this series.
I was really thinking this is part 1 of 10.
Okay.
It'll be like the Marvel movie at the end where it goes, Tim will return.
I will return.
For the sequel.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, poor people at Marshall.
Oh, my. Anyhow. Okay. So, you know, Tim, I'm going to let you take it from here. You just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your church, your background a little bit. Go for it.
Fantastic.
Take it.
My name is Pastor Tim Shirley. I am the senior pastor of Mount Pleasant Church of God in Smithsburg, Maryland, off of Route 77. Beautiful little mountain church. I have been there coming on 2 years now. So, wonderful, wonderful little place. I have been in the Church of God for quite a few number of years, since I was 8 years old. So it's been a while. I have been pastoring in pastoral ministry for about the last 7 years. So between youth ministry and being an administrative pastor and then now being senior pastor, lead pastor. So, yeah.
Now you said 2 years ago, so that put you right at the advent of COVID,
obviously. Absolutely. So December 29th of 2019 was my first Sunday at Mount Pleasant. Fast forward to, 3 months later, 2 months later, COVID. So yeah, welcome to the pastorate. That was fun. That was fun.
No, thank you.
So you basically barely had a chance to say hi to your congregation and everything got closed down and went virtual at that point.
Basically, I'm going to be honest, whether this gets me in trouble or not, we really didn't close down that much.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. And I'm not saying whether that's right or that's wrong, but our church, we really didn't close down. I think maybe 4 weeks.
Okay.
Might have been about it that we did, some drive-in church so people could listen on the radio. We went, just primarily streaming. But that was about it. I felt that, God would be able to handle everything and take care of our church. And we opened back up, rather quickly.
Right. And it certainly has. I mean, because here you still are. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. So you've been around for a little while. And so if I were to ask you the basic question of what do you believe it means to be a pastor, what definition comes to your mind in that way? If someone says, you're a pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? It's someone you've never asked.
clearly when you introduce yourself to somebody and you tell them that you're a pastor, they automatically think of that hour long, somebody that's preaching on a Sunday morning, right? That's kind of what we all typically think when we hear pastor, right?
Uh-huh.
Can I just tell you that that's like the highlight of the job? Like that's the fun part, really, is that opportunity to get to mentor essentially your congregation. But to me, what it means to be a pastor is to be involved, to shepherd your people. So that's where the rubber really hits the road is doing life with your congregation, being involved with them. The first year of being a new pastor, I think everybody kind of took it easy on me, and COVID and all of that kind of stuff. Let's learn the new guy. Let's feel this out and see how he is. Once you start to, people decide that they kind of do like you and they start to come to you for advice and, hey, can we have some, you know, coaching sessions, or can you talk to me about this? Or, hey, there's this great book that I just read, you know, will you read it and tell me what you think? And so a lot of things, you know, to take up your time. But to me, that's the meat and potatoes of being a pastor, is really getting in there and, you know, being with your people and interacting with them. And, you know, it's much more than just what we do on Sunday mornings.
So what you're saying is that it isn't just a go up, preach a sermon, collect a paycheck, walk away, come back, do it the following week. You're actually saying there's stuff in between all that.
There's a lot of stuff in between. Yeah. So for the people that say, oh, you're just a pastor, you work 1 hour a week. Yes. Yes, I do. I work 1 hour a week. and that's about it. Yes, we absolutely set our own schedule. We do what we want, when we want. We have no life. So... That's exactly how it works. And I'm okay with that stereotype, because to me, like I said, the real, you know, beauty behind what I do as a pastor is doing life with my congregation.
Right. So
getting to know them, you know, just talking with them, even, you know, answering questions. If I'm not mistaken, I remember, you know, listening to one of the podcasts early on, and we were talking about, you know, whether questions are allowed during the sermon.
Right.
You know, so maybe people aren't asking the questions during the sermon, but they're certainly coming up and asking me, whether it's afterwards or throughout the week. I'm getting messages and stuff, and, you know, having that opportunity to sit down with people and maybe explain, because, you know, what I do on a Sunday morning is really meant to just be thought provoking, right? And we're, you know, I'm supposed to kind of help give you the tools, but you guys need, you know, the congregation needs to decide, okay, what does that mean to life application? How do I apply what he just said to my life? And so that, you know, requires them to dig in and read some scriptures for themselves and, you know, right, study it a little bit more, because, you know, I mean, I know Ryan, you know, having years of, you know, pastoral experience under your belt, you know, when you do a sermon, it's the whole iceberg theory, right? Yeah. We give them that 10% that's above water, and the rest of it, the hours and hours of study and all of the Greek and Hebrew root words,
right,
you know, that, well, maybe they don't need to know that, and you chip away at it and you just give them that big chunk, but there's much more that people could, you know, could take away.
Oh, definitely. Right? Definitely. So, yeah, so what you're saying is, again, is that it's not really a walk in the park at all. There's definitely challenges that you face.
Believe me, there's challenges. Every day. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so coming in as a new pastor, or coming or considering to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Would I be safe in saying that you definitely need to count the cost before really stepping into it?
Absolutely. Let me just put this out there. If there's anybody listening or going to be listening that's considering going into the pastorate, let me make sure the camera's right there so that I can get a clear shot with you guys. If you're trying to do this to be famous, don't do it. Okay. I'm just going to be honest. It is not I'm going to do this to make a name for myself. It is a get in the trenches, get dirty, cry with people, laugh with people. In just the last 2 years, the range of emotions, the different services that we've had, you know, between just Sunday morning services, but then funerals. I mean, you just couldn't imagine, you know. So it is not, let's get into this to collect a paycheck and, you know, do a sermon, walk away, and come back the next week. That's the highlight, really. You know what I'm saying? Like that Sunday morning, you know, whatever you do on the internet, or, you know, when you put that out there, that's the ESPN, like, hey, look, you know, look at the highlights for the week kind of thing. That's really what that is.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, last week, Isaiah and I were discussing recognizing fake people.
Yeah.
And how Jesus dealt with them and how he moved on with them and called them out, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the, kind of one of the things you just insinuated there, just going back to that last episode for a second, is that, you know, if you're going to any particular church, kind of pay attention to how the pastors team, how they all interact, you know, and does it seem like they're just kind of going through motions, or,
right.
or do they have, or do they really have a heart for the people that are around them? You know, and I think what you just described there is really a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that heartbeat is very important because, you know, that's where the love of Christ really is in that heartbeat. Truth of that.
For sure. I mean, again, I'll you know reiterate with that there too, because you said it, you know, the pastor and the pastor's team, you know, whatever that consists of, right? Whatever size church you may be in, and whether there's a youth pastor or administrative pastor, or even if it's just a small church and you have a lead pastor, but you know what? We all have sound guys. We all have our, you know, I know with COVID, we have a media team now. Obviously, we try to put a product out so that if people can't be at church or still haven't felt comfortable returning to church, they can watch, you know, a cleaning team and all of that. It takes a team to do, you know, what we do. Again, that Sunday morning is the highlight. It's, you know, hey, ESPN top 10.
You're watching the finished product, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes a lot
the
more.
The 10% of everything.
To get there, yeah.
Right. And, you know, with that said, you know, so, you know, if you have a team of people and you have delegation and whatnot, that kind of probably helps a little bit with balancing, say, the family life and balancing, you know, personal time. I mean, how's that work? I mean, let's talk about that reality for a second.
You know, I knew we were going to hit on this, so I was kind of prepared. But let's be honest. For me, man, that was the hardest thing I had to learn, right? Because I came into this as an administrative pastor. So with that, I was fortunate enough that I got to preach at least once every other month. Okay. So I had ample time for sermon prep and stuff like that and getting that together. When you go from every other month to, hey, I got to preach every week, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
I do not honestly think that I was really prepared going into that, like that quick. So I had to learn what that balance was. And for the longest time, there really wasn't a balance. I would overdo one or the other. And so what I've had to do in the, you know, the time since is really prayed, tried to figure that out. And I had to figure out what was I going to sacrifice. And for me, that became some sleep. So I start my day much earlier now. Does that make sense? You know, mm-hmm. I used to be, 9 o'clock. I'm going to roll out of bed and do what I want to do for the day.
Right.
I can't do that anymore because I don't want to miss family time. I don't want to, you know, neglect time with God because, first of all, I have to have my time with God before I can ever think about trying to have time for God for the church, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In sermon prep or anything like that. So now my day starts at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's just where I find it easiest because that's when I can get up. I can have my devotion, my reading. And then after that, then I start on sermon prep or study time, whatever day of the week that may be. And then, you know, from there it's, you know, I find it key for me to get exercise in. So then I exercise. And then after that, that's when the rest of my family then begins to wake up. And then, so then it's, okay, this is family time. You know, we've decided that we homeschool our kids. So I teach our kids and, you know, whatever little things throughout the church that I need to get done throughout that day while I'm doing that and moving on from there. So it's very tough to balance that out, but you know, it's like, okay, what am I going to sacrifice? Cause my family shouldn't sacrifice it, you know, cause this was a decision that God placed on my heart to be a pastor. They're just getting drug along to this,
right?
You know, if I'm being honest, and the church shouldn't suffer, you know, why should I have, you know, really crappy sermons because, oh, I didn't get enough sleep or I don't have enough time to study. That's a really quick way to get yourself out of a job. Let's just be honest. Yeah. If you're not given 100% in your services and your sermons, you know, people are kind of like, well, that's, you know, I don't know, that's not really good. Or that was the same thing you just preached this last week. You just changed the title.
Right.
Like, that's not, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be in a job for very long.
No.
So it was, what did I need to sacrifice? And for me, that's, you know, like I said, just a little bit of sleep. So I, you know, I start early. I start at 5 a.m. And again, you know, years of pastoral ministry under your belt, and, you know, I know you've had the years of music ministry, but, you know, you're a very spiritual guy, and we all have that time where we're awoken and, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning to pray for somebody or in need or something like that. So you have those mornings too. And so you just grab an extra cup of coffee or you just continue to, you know what I'm saying? Do what you got to do to just kind of keep your day going. You feel a little tired in the afternoon, you get another cup of coffee and, you know, pray a little bit more and then keep pushing forward.
Right. Now you weren't one of those, PK kids. Were you growing up or were you?
No, actually I was not. I was not officially a PK. Now my mom was a youth leader.
Okay.
But she was never a pastor or anything like that. So I was, you know, I'm actually a first generation pastor for our family, which I really, you know, thank God for.
Right. So you're kind of, so what's happening is you're setting the precedence for your own children to see as an example.
Oh, absolutely.
What it means to have a family,
yeah.
But at the same time serve God.
And serve God, yeah. Right. And what not to do. Like, to do. You know, Duncan, don't become a pastor, you know. serve in the media team, buddy. Like, play music.
Anything else.
Yeah, yeah, man. Now, like, if God puts that calling on his heart or on Katie's heart, then God bless them, right? I'm gonna pray for them because it's not easy. But you know, I love it. I love growing, you know, seeing my family grow up in church, and being able to do what I do and, you know, be a part of that is just, it's phenomenal. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Right. So did you have anything you want to add to that from the PK point of view or anything, or?
Don't be a PK. That's a whole nother topic though in itself.
Listen, I can't really speak on that as far as a PK, but I've heard all of the stories. I've grown up with PKs and yeah, there could be a whole podcast on that. Nope. And I can already see it just like literally the day that I got like my papers where it's like, hey, you're now a reverend and they turned into PKs. It was like that, man. Like they're, like they just changed. I'm wow. Like, how is that possible?
It's like the gremlins always.
Yeah, there. I'm like, how? I'm like, Jesus, touch him. Like, demon, get thee behind me. Like, out. Like, it was crazy.
Well, you might be
PKs are crazy.
You might be onto something with the gremlin thing. You know, give him chicken after all. You know,
something.
There's definitely some serious stereotypes that are very accurate about PKs.
Yeah.
Very accurate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so, that's a whole nother. That's a. Just don't that's be, part don't, two, don't, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, part two. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, with that said, you know, what methods do you do to prevent burnout? I mean, how do you, I mean, like just, you know, do you ever have a day where it's like, I've just about kind of had it.
Yes.
I'm ready to turn it over, you know.
Absolutely.
How am I going to make it till tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have had those days more and more and more. For me, you know, I found that, you know, to prevent burnout, I really had to focus on self. So again, that became, okay, what am I going to sacrifice? What more time can I give to work on self? So that was a reading through a lot of books, especially this year on just self and the battle in the mind. Because even as a pastor, man, those thoughts just creep into your head.
Even more so, I'd imagine.
Yeah, probably of you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. Even the thoughts of, hey, you're the man, like, right. You know, you're in charge of all of this. Look what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. Look at how good things are going. And I'm like, nah, I can't, you know, you can't. So that battle in your mind is huge. And so mm-hmm. I had to really focus on that through the word. Through other good, you know, good pastors that have dealt with a lot of these subjects. There's a lot of great books out there, you know, on these topics. And then the second thing is really my physical health. That's a big thing I think that has been lacking in the church, as a whole for a really long time.
They don't speak about it.
Right,
no,
right.
No, it's not a topic talked about enough.
It's not because let's be honest. You know, I've grown up Church of God my whole life. And we love our meals. We do. We, we're like second to Southern Baptists, right? Like on potlucks. Let's just be honest.
I did mention chicken earlier.
Right. Well, exactly.
Heart attack central, buddy.
So, you know, I mean, and this isn't all, this isn't meant to be all about me, but I was definitely obese. I was way overweight, you know, young in my life, and then even carried over, and I got better because I, you know, had two great kids and I knew I needed to do something. But even when I started, you know, the pastorate and even started that position, you know, I was really overweight. I dealt with a lot of health issues because of that and dealing with that throughout my first year. And so when I started to think towards 2021, you know, at the end of 2020, and started searching and seeking God's face for what I needed to do for that next year, you know, God told me this again, you know, personal, but he said, you know, if you're going to lead spiritually, he said, I need you to try to be a leader physically as well. And I was like, wow, like really? Like, is it that, you know, like, is it really that important?
Low blow there, you know?
Yeah. Right. Like, God, really? Can you take that one back, please? Right. You know, but, you know, we can make all the jokes about it that we want, but like, you know, Jesus and the disciples walked everywhere. So, you know, they had to be somewhat fit, right? I mean, Jesus was a carpenter, so I'd imagine that he was probably pretty ripped. Yeah. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah, no,
the,
for sure.
Yeah, the average walk between cities was 8 to 12 miles.
It's 12 miles, exactly. Yeah.
In the heat.
In the heat, yeah. Because it's not real flat over there either.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, so, you know, so for me, that was a really big journey that I had to kind of overcome and say, okay, where am I going to go? You know, what do I need to do to get myself better? And I've noticed that as I got physically in shape, that, you know, my mental capacity, the spiritual capacity became greater. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not out here trying to say like, hey, everybody's got to get to the gym and let's just get jacked for Jesus. Like, that's not
pumping iron for God.
Yeah, right. That's not exactly. It's a whole new meaning to iron sharpens iron, right? Like, that's not exactly what I'm talking about, right? But you know, hey, let's right. just kind of make some smarter choices. Let's be
we are
the leaders
the temple
that
for
we
the Holy
are.
Spirit.
Yeah, let's be the leaders that we are as pastors. And I know through my congregation, like a lot of people were like, "Wow, you've really inspired me." You know, just in the little journey that I've been able to see. You know, because I've started off, you know, 2021, and I will again in 2022 with a 21-day fast. And that kind of really helped reset my mind, reset my body through that. And people could tell right away, you know, and they're like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, this is, it's just, you know, the fast that I'm doing. And so we would talk about it and they're like, wow, you know, well, if you can do it, then I could do it. I don't know if that was like a double, like a backhanded kind of snide comment, like, well, that guy can do it. I mean, then I should be able to do it. Right. But whatever, if that was the case, I mean, still more power to him. And right. So, you know, as a whole, you know, it's about that mental health, that physical health will help you, you know, with dealing with the burnout and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, it's definitely a thing. You know, I don't want to keep dwelling on this, but you know, listen, if you are a pastor and you're out there, like, I know that I'm new to this thing, but listen, pastor, you're not alone. Please reach out to somebody, reach out to another pastor, but you're not the only one feeling the way that you're feeling. But what you're doing is making a difference and what you do matter. So just keep it up, but just know that you're not alone and you can reach out to myself. You can reach out to Ryan, any other pastors, and we'd love to just talk and help. Absolutely. With the mental capacity, with the burnout.
Absolutely. You know, I think isolation is one of the tactics, one of the greatest tactics, not to up and kind of get props to the devil or anything, but
yeah.
That's one of his greatest tactics is isolation.
Oh, sure. Feeling, you know, like you're an island.
Yeah, look at,
like,
2020 as a whole.
Oh, absolutely.
You're all alone. You can't do this, or you're never going to get there, you know, that kind of thing. But just isolation. Right. Nobody's going to save you. Nobody's going
to
help
you. Yeah, and one of the biggest, you know, as far as getting back to, like, just, you know, as pastoral, like, one of the biggest things that I had to fight on my own was you're alone. Who do you have to reach out to? Like, I had pastors that I could contact and definitely reach out to, because they told me going into being a lead pastor, like, hey, if you got any questions, call me. But on my own, I'm like, well, you're going to feel really dumb. They're going to think you're stupid if you call them and ask them that question.
So that isolation,
you know what I'm saying? It was that isolation thing. I'm like, well, I'm in this alone. And it was like, you know, well, if I just ask them that, it might, you know, like, yeah, I really want to know and I need to know. But, oh, they're going to laugh at you. Like, how dare you not know that answer?
Right.
And see, we can't, you know, we can't feel that way.
No.
Like, we got to get
never learn.
Yeah, you'll never learn. We, you know, there's been an air of pastors for so long that we're perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we're so far from holier perfect. Than thou. Right. Like, yeah. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just doing it wrong, but I'm so far from perfect.
Right.
Like, I'm learning this thing every day. Right. And there's been, you know, like I told you earlier, you know, some of the health challenges, you know, I kept that thing to myself for a year. Not telling anybody.
Just to see if people pay attention.
Right. You know, well, I never, believe me, I never let it be known. Like, I would suck it up, buddy. Like, and just, you know the congregation's not going to know. Because I don't want my congregation to think I'm weak. I'm the pastor. I'm the leader. How dare they think that I'm weak?
Another lie.
Yeah, yeah, they can't do, you know.
Right.
Man, and God convicted me of that. And he's like, would you stop being stubborn and let people pray for you?
You know, that with you saying that kind of leads me to the next topic a little bit is you know, so how do you prevent that pride, that arrogance, and that sort of thing from taking root? I mean,
you let yourself go through a physical ailment for a year and carry that burden by yourself, and then finally you let God slap you upside the head and be like, hey, stupid, you know, why don't you let somebody else pray for you for once?
Yeah.
And when it happens and all of a sudden it's like that ailment just starts to dissipate overnight, you're kind of like, oh, yeah. Now I see what you're talking about, God. Like, you know,
right.
Because, and that happens, like we want to carry the burdens, like, you know, we're the shepherd, right?
Right. But there's a certain rapport that you feel like you have to live up to. And,
but you know what? At the same time, I think if people know that, like, we're not perfect, I think if people know, like, hey, yeah, it's okay that pastor, you know, has a bad back, like he's, you know, might need back surgery. You know, I opened up a sermon, you know, one time and was like, yeah, I might have to take time off. Like, sorry, you know, it's a possibility. Like, if God doesn't do something in this. But that was me kind of stepping out and saying, okay, this, you know, I really need your prayers for this.
Right.
And since then, you know, and again, some other, just again, getting back to the physical and, you know, working out and doing some different things, you know, God's done a work, you know, a year and a half ago when I went to the doctor for it, the doctor literally told me, she said, look, it's not a matter of if, it's when do you want to get this surgery done? And I was like, whoa, like, that's like, no, you don't know the same God that I know. Like, you can tell me that, but I'm going to pray for this. And, you know, but again, once I stop being stubborn, once I let that inner pride get out of the way, then it definitely helped. And realistically, that's one of the ways, you know, when, you know, I don't want to say like, God puts it on you, but I mean, look at the story of Job, right? Yeah. You know,
yeah, he'll make a scenario just to teach us something.
Yeah, to teach us that. Yeah. And so, you know, it might have taken a year, and maybe it was just because I was extra stubborn. But, you know, God's finally like, okay, are you done? Like, instead of being a baby about it and holding on to it, why don't you, you know, do the same thing that you've been telling your congregation and just let it go? Let it, you know, give it to me, give it to other people to help carry.
Right.
I was like, okay. So that'll definitely help get pride and get arrogance out of your way when you see something, you know, when you see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is not in the notes, but I think you're kind of hitting on the idea of keeping yourself accountable to others.
Absolutely.
And again, back to the isolation, not keeping everything, or maybe I should say it this way, staying transparent is key.
Right. Exactly. Because we're not, you know, we're not very perfect. It goes back to, you know, like I said, what is a pastor? I'm doing life with my congregation.
Right.
Both of y'all are trying to figure it out.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. You know, we're just trying to do this thing together. And, you know, hey, I might not be perfect. I might not be feeling the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, pastor, can you help me move this weekend? Hey, sorry, pastor's got a bad back. Let me call three or four other guys that I know that might be available from the church. But you know, I'll come and I'll support. I'll bring lunch.
You do what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but that it, and you know, but then it you know doesn't need to become an excuse for everything either, right? Like, oh, you know, I can't prepare good sermons because oh, I got a bad back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to toe that line. It goes back to balance. Yeah.
Right. So moving on from that with the idea of not staying isolated, you know, being accountable. You know, the one thing I want to point out is we all know that every pastor out there makes six-figure incomes, right? I mean, is that, once you're a pastor, you have no worries with that, right?
Right.
I mean,
so once you're a pastor, your wife can quit work.
Okay.
She's gonna homeschool the kids. Okay. She's gonna cook and clean everything for you. That's exactly how it works.
Okay.
Not.
Right. Right, exactly.
Read it in a book one time, though.
Yeah. Not. Yeah, yeah. I read it in a book. Yeah. So I don't exactly know what the question was, but no, that's not how it works.
So what I'm saying is getting into ministry is not a financial easy task.
No.
Off the bat, even through it.
No. Yeah. So I definitely did not get into ministry to make money.
Good.
That's for sure. Okay, let's again, if you're thinking about getting into the ministry, do not get into it because you think you're going to make money. Maybe down the road, if God blesses you and you have a gigantic church or you're a part of a huge church organization, great, because I think we need those. But as far as just the small local church, That's not what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's important to bring up the financial side because I think there's a scapegoat mentality, and let me explain myself there. Scapegoat mentality would be is, oh man, I work full time here, but I want to get into ministry so I no longer have to work over here to make ends meet. And then they find out they get into ministry and they're like, well, here's your $200 a week paycheck or less.
Right.
And
right.
Like, what is this? I can't live off this. Yeah. You know? And a scapegoat meaning that, you know, they think it's eat the grass is greener side, but
take
really
an easy way out.
And they forget about the servanthood side of things.
Right.
You know, whereas we're not in, you know, you should never, and this is my opinion, we should never go into ministry looking for a paycheck. I can honestly say that for the 20 years that I did servant, for the 20 years plus that I, in different capacities, a youth ministry, children's ministry, you know, I was never in the capacity of a senior pastor. But the point is I never was asked to, you know, I never was given a paycheck, never really asked one. I had a conversation not too long ago with another church in this area, amongst three of the main pastors of this particular church. And we were just small talking, like, well, if you came here, what would you want? I'm like, what do you mean what I want? And they're like, well, what kind of a salary would you want? I'm like, why are you worried with that?
Yeah.
You know, it was like the very first thing that came out. I'm like, you know, and if churches are looking for a real, what I call a real pastor or someone that's more walking closer to Christ, the last thing that should ever have to be worried with is the money
income.
That's not to say, let's be real here. That's not to say that if you're bringing a pastor on and, you know, they need a paycheck for living expenses. I get that.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a real wage versus a out of this world wage. That's what I'm saying. Like six figure income, you know, for having a 30 member congregation.
I would be very honest in saying that, had God not worked things out the way that it worked out in our life, when I first took over at Mount Pleasant, that I would have been bivocational.
Yeah.
Okay. But God is a provider, and we kind of, you know, my wife and I started this journey into becoming lead pastors very backwards. We both had very good careers, you know, and then like, so me having that career on the outside and then still doing full-time ministry as youth pastor, becoming then administrative pastor. All of that kind of stuff, right? So all of that led into, you know, when I came to take this job, it was like, they're like, oh, let's talk about pay. And I'm like, well, I don't care. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you know, so certainly there was an adjustment period that, mm-hmm. that we had to figure out, like, okay, what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I could definitely, you know, see, you know, where it would have had to have been, you know, me be bivocational had my wife not, you know, made the type of money that she does doing what it is that she does. So. Right.
And you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with bivocational. I mean, there's
no. I know a lot of great pastors that are bivocational.
Yeah.
You know, they're just starting. They started a church from ground up, right. and you know, were able to purchase a building, and they're trying to run a business or work at a business to support the ministry. And right. I think that's great. Yeah.
And the reason
more
I
wanna power
say,
to
and
it.
The reason I want to inject that is not anything what we're talking about, but just that there's so many people out there like, well. I don't want to, God put this in my heart, but I don't want to do it because I can't make
any money or I can't, yeah.
You know, and they're thinking that they have to be 100%, you know, in the pastor role to the when it comes to the finances. And when they see that, it looks like a dead end because there's no money to pay them for their living expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Right off the bat. So the truth is that bivocational is very much okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible insinuates that Christ himself may have been bivocational.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's definitely a stereotype that you have to totally, you're just a pastor. If you're a pastor, you're just a pastor.
Yeah,
that's all you do.
Right, right. Yeah, because again, we only work 1 hour a week and make six figures. If I could make, you know, any suggestion to any other pastors out there, invest in property, man. Like, you know, whatever. Whatever you can do. You know, if you've got property, whether you're, you know, if you're living at the parsonage and you can get a piece of land somewhere to just kind of have as a bargaining chip, or if you ever needed it, like, you know, property is the way to go. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, again, we're not all out here making money, but if, you know, because like I said, we did this thing backwards. So we already owned a home, had a piece of property,
right.
and then we're, you know, blessed enough to be able to move into, you know, a parsonage that was provided by the church. I really think, and it's like, man, I don't think that we could do what we're doing. I couldn't stay full time. You know, I'd have to be bivocational if we didn't have that piece of property that we could start, you know, that we could keep renting out and make a little bit of a monthly income on. Yeah. So, you know, so if you've got that opportunity,
definitely take it.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a whole conversation there in that area, which is not talked about enough.
No, absolutely.
And that may be a good
there. I was going to say, I can tell you you know, when I was being trained, and went through all of my classes, I know you went through a lot of the same classes that I've gone through. Did they ever really once talk about finances and how to prepare yourself, you know, to become a pastor realistically? Like, I think that was sorely missing in our education.
Well, and I think it's overlooked heavily as well.
Yeah.
Same way with taxes in school, but it's a whole nother
absolutely.
The same thing.
Because let me tell you, when you become a pastor and taxes, those are two words that don't mix.
No, thanks.
I never realized how bad taxes were until you became self-employed.
Oh, yeah. It gets doubled.
Oh, you take hits.
Oh, boy.
You take hard hits.
Let me tell you.
Being self-employed myself, I understand that hard hit.
Let me tell you.
The average is about 40% loss.
Absolutely. Yeah, but so, anyway, that's but not...
Yeah. No, but yeah. It's
that's
just,
not a boo is me, but I'm just... Again, no. Those that are thinking about the pastorate...
It's not... It's not
keep
a walk,
that in
it's
mind.
Not, it's not a walk in the park. But at the same time, again, back to counting the cost.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
what is it that I'm willing to sacrifice in service?
Right.
Yeah. And I think the first thing that has to be said is if you don't have the heart of willing to sacrifice things, may not be for you.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, so I mean, if you don't have that sacrificial mentality already.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't that way and I just decided I'm too far into it. So I'm not going to quit. So I better sacrifice a few things and just get it done. Yeah.
got the proverbial ice bucket dumped on your
body. Exactly. Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay, let's keep going. So you got,
I think Isaiah's
been
trying to flag
you.
Okay,
I'm going to pull an episode 5 here.
Okay.
That's going to be plugged back in that laptop.
What
the front.
Oh.
All right, hang on.
Insert music here.
Oh, no, this is the problem.
Other side.
What are we plugging in?
Yeah, the fun thing. Yeah, okay. The power.
Welcome to live recordings.
Yeah, welcome to live recordings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is why we don't edit, because we want people to see things the way it is.
Yeah.
The
it's how Sunday mornings are for me.
Yeah, love it. Hey, I'd rather be in a church like that. So, but moving on. So criticism, conflicts and depression are three major massive things that hit pastors.
Oh.
Massive goodness. Things. What would you say to... how to cope or to deal with that sort of thing? How would you even address that? Because it's a heavy hit.
Yeah.
And
which one first?
Because you're just the same person as a pastor. You're up there, you're praying for people, you're helping them get delivered, set free. But meanwhile, being bombarded by something else.
Yeah. Because it's the criticisms and the conflicts that will cause the depression. So when you say which one do you start
they
with,
they kind of trigger each other.
They trigger each other. Yeah. Wow,
it's a heavy topic.
Yeah. Okay, so story time. One of the first things that I decided that I would do in my brand new church. Okay, mm-hmm. And we've all been around the church world long enough, and if this offends somebody, then I apologize. Churches get stanky, right? Older buildings.
Oh yeah.
Maintenance. So I'm like, okay, we're going to put in some nice air fresheners. I never thought that there would have been so much argument and criticism over air fresheners in my entire life. I was surprised to the point that I had somebody come to me and was like, if you don't remove these air fresheners, I'm leaving.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
within like the first 3 weeks of me being at a new church. And I'm like, how am I going to handle
air fresheners? No go. Duly noted.
How am I going to handle this? So I just was very polite, and I just tried to explain my reasonings behind it and said, if that is what's going to cause you to leave, then I will be praying for you. And I hope you find what you need at another church.
Yeah,
It is what it is. But yeah, so you deal with criticisms and conflict again, going side to side. As many times as you hear, "Hey, great word," you also get the, "Well, that one bombed,"
right?
couldn't have preached that when we had less people or not as many visitors, Pastor. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, that's kind of. Right. So you get that. But again, it kind of goes back to the preventing the burnout, and I had to work on my own mental capacity and dealing with that, because it would be rather easy to slip into depression and go, oh my goodness, they all hate me. You could do that really quickly. But it's so important to know who we are in Christ and that God called us into this position.
Right.
I'm not saying that you got to be like a complete dictator. Cause obviously, I know for my church in particular, we have a wonderful pastor's council of wise men, who have, directed me in certain ways. And there's been a few things that I've wanted to try to get done. And they're like, I don't think so. So it either had to wait, or we had to find out another way of going about doing something. So again, that there is, negative criticism. Yeah. So you're like, okay, how do I overcome that? Now my pastor's council hates me, like it's easy to think that because they said no.
So what you're saying is you're not always going to get your way as a pastor.
No, you're not. Yeah. Or if you do, you have to find a different way that appeases more people than at first.
And I would imagine the negativity is something you deal with probably a lot in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's always side comments. There's always like, that's probably one of the number one things you deal with.
And I don't know. I can't remember if I started it out this way, but this is what I should have started out. Don't take it personally.
Yeah, right. That's good advice.
Okay. Yeah. Don't take it personal. Maybe they're having a bad day.
Right.
Just like I said, pastors aren't perfect and we're allowed to have bad days.
Right.
Your congregation members are not going to always have a good day.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe for some reason their hearing aid got turned up a little bit more on Sunday morning, and so they just they think that the music is really loud, right? Or you know, maybe it's not loud enough, and maybe it was just simply that their hearing aid got turned down. I don't know. Maybe they had a fight with their spouse on the way into church, and you know that little side comment wasn't really meant for you, you know, like, so you can't take it personally.
Would I be safe to say that learning to be slow to react?
Oh, absolutely. Slow to react and you know, but again, it also goes back to the original statement. What is a pastor doing life together? If I know that comment came from Sister Susie, because, and I don't take it personal, because I'm like, oh, well, you know, unfortunately, I've been in coaching sessions with him, you know, with her and her husband, and I know that there's, you know, that capacity to argue on the way to church. So it makes that a little easier to kind of go, oh, okay. You still want to listen to it and judge that in your own spirit. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, well, I know that, you know, maybe they just didn't have a good day. And so maybe it wasn't necessarily meant towards me.
Let it roll.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't
water off of a duck.
Yep. Don't take anything personal and try to work people where they're at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Because again, I think there's a lot of times that, you know, people get into these roles and it's like getting married. You have your honeymoon period, you know, you have your first several weeks, and then after that, reality hits, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, did I sign up for this?
Right.
You know, right. So, yeah, so.
Indeed you did.
So there's one more thing I want to kind of bring up, a thought here before we move into just a couple scriptures, just get your intake on that too, is, do you, given your background, mm-hmm. you're a youth pastor.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel that.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. And shout out to all the youth pastors out there.
You're real ones.
Love you. You're the real ones. Yeah, absolutely. You guys are awesome. And gals.
Yep. Yeah, sometimes I believe youth pastors can have it as equally hard.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Youth camp, okay? Right? We've all done youth camp. So, yes.
Definitely. So, you know, so do you feel that it should be like a prerequisite or some kind of like you have that kind of experience before going into a pastor role?
Whew. Do I feel that it should be a prerequisite? You know,
that's a big. I couldn't think of a better word to use. I know. Honestly.
I'm gonna say.
I'm on a definition here. No.
Yeah, please. I'm gonna say I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it should be a prerequisite or not. I'm going to tell you, from my experience, I couldn't do what I do right now as a lead pastor every Sunday morning had I not had my experience as a youth pastor. I can't tell you how many times I'm preaching a message and I'll be like, you know, what I used to tell my youth when I was a youth pastor was this, or, you know, back when I was a youth pastor, I had this happen. Mm-hmm. And so those stories, those things, that foundation that I learned, you know, I mean, just helps tremendously, you know, in the pastorate now. Like, I couldn't imagine not having those stories to look back on.
Right.
And going in, because let's be honest, sometimes those stories, that's your filler, right? When you're trying to fit 35 minute sermon, you need a good 10 minute story from, you need a good 10 minute story from your youth pastor days of, you know, sitting on a table rack and bowling into chairs and stuff like that. And, you know, your congregation's like, this is who we hired. Like, he did what? You know, so you need those sometimes when they are appropriate to the sermon.
Sure.
You don't want to just pull out just a random story. Right. It needs to fit nicely. Okay. Yeah. Let's say that.
It needs to have something common with
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. So then would it be better said then maybe it's encouraged to have.
Absolutely. I would say it's encouraged.
Instead of just jumping like, oh, I want to go straight to being a pastor. I'm being called into ministry. I'm going to go straight to being a pastor. Maybe get your feet wet.
Because you definitely want to get your feet wet. Yeah. It's a different creature preaching in front of teens or young people than it is preaching in front of a congregation. Because if you can preach in front of teens and young people when they're throwing spit wads and flicking boogers mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff, then you can do it in front of a congregation that's pretty well quiet. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty reserved. You know, or in that case now, you know, people are like, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry that, you know, my little baby was crying, and I'm just like, I didn't hear it. Like she was, you know, he was, I didn't know. And they're like, are you just like, do you not pay attention? And I'm like, not really. Like I'm
autopilot.
I'm in. Yeah. You know, cause you get into the zone and, you know, like I look at people,
right.
But you just don't, you're listening to the voice of God as you're preaching.
I will say that being a youth pastor definitely gives you a filter to know when something's important to stop everything for. Versus keep on going.
A
baby crying probably did not grab my attention.
I've had babies crying. I've had car alarms going off. You know, have people going to the bathroom. You know, during certain bother me. Like if that stuff, and again, if that stuff bothers you while you're preaching, you are probably doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably...
Right, and that's why I was bringing that up, because I just, you know, the experiences that you get...
Oh, yeah.
That is...
They were priceless.
Yeah.
I learned, I feel like, and maybe this might get me in trouble, be controversial.
Say
it. Put a warning on this one. I feel like I learned more as a youth pastor and getting hands-on there than I ever did in our classroom experiences, you know, through the denomination that we are credentialed in.
Right. Well, yeah, that could be said for anything, though. I mean, you know, let's take something kind of rudimentary.
I used to work for Sheetz. Let's be honest, I used to work for Sheetz. Hey, shout out. And we had what was called Sheetz U as assistant managers, where we went to corporate and we sat in a classroom for a week learning all of these kind of things. Well, I learned far more hands-on doing the work in the store than I ever did that week long in the classroom.
Right, the actual...
Like, you know what I'm saying? If you want to teach me how to read your financial report, like, I learned more in the store with a manager actually looking at my store versus, you know, doing it a week. If you want to teach me how to make a pot of coffee, I learned better at my store than I ever would at corporate in a classroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, people in the military would say something to this effect. You know, the boots on the ground understand what's going on better than the brass.
Absolutely.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's kind of the same scenario. So, yeah, but it all comes back to the experiences that you gather, you know, the things that you witness.
Yeah.
You know, that you just cannot replace or read out of a
Absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely. Well, and there again, you know, like I said, when I said that, you know, I did everything coming into the pastorate backwards, you know, I had quite a substantial, you know, career throughout my life and everything.
Financials.
You know, financial stability and stuff like that. But even more than that, I just look at all of the things that I've done and the experiences that I've gained. And I'm like, oh, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't know how to, you know what I'm saying? You know, reading a financial report for $1 million business makes it a little easier when I'm trying to budget and do T reports for a church.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like when I'm trying to make sure that the ladies ministry has, you know, what they need, and your kids ministry and benevolence fund and all these other things, when you're checking and balancing, you know, when you've done it for $1 million business, you so come in and you can come to the church and you're like, oh, well, this is a piece of cake. Right, you know, I can get this done. I look at all of that kind of stuff. You know, I used to do a lot in the food service industry and used to be, you know, in the culinary arts. Man, when it comes time to doing a banquet or something like that, I'm like, yep, I know that I need this much food for this many people. And it just rolls off because it's experiences.
Yeah. And again, kind of relighting on something earlier, being bivocational. Isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Having that experience to begin with, you know, but yeah, absolutely. So it goes into, you know, some of those things, like what you've done before is never a bad thing.
It's never a waste.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely not. Well, I'm gonna bring up two scriptures that actually, when I read them, I just want to hear your whatever it is that comes to your mind.
Yeah,
about
go ahead.
Because the scriptures that are going to be read, it could be different answers from different people very easily.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but the first one's in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. It said, then the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And some interpretations say much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
So
this is a great verse.
Yeah. So a lot of times that last segment is taken out.
You know, I was just getting ready to say that a lot of times people focus on that, man, especially when we're doing tithes and offerings, right? Like we're always trying to like get people in with that, but we don't go up to verse, 47, man. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows.
I mean, that's pretty brutal, isn't it?
That's pretty brutal. Like, so if you're thinking about getting into the pastorate, like...
It's for you,
100%. And you know what you're getting into, but yet...
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, when I look at something like that and I see a verse like that, you know, people are like, well, what are some of the things that go through your mind? And, you know, just odd things like that, right? And I'm like, listen, here's what you all need to understand, okay? Let's take a simple principle such as tithing, okay? Mm-hmm. What God asked you to do with your tithe and with your money, you've got to answer to God, right? Mm-hmm. Correct.
Absolutely.
Now, not only do I need to answer to God for what I do with my tithe and my money, now I've got to answer to God with what I do with the church's tithe and the church's money. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we've got a pastor's council and I've got some wise people that I try to ask and you know, hey, right. Should we do this project or is this one better or something like this? But, you know, like this time of the year, you know, do you help needy families? Do you help in nursing homes? Like where does that money that comes in from other people, where is that best directed?
Right.
And one of these days, like, you know, if I know the master's will, but I don't do that.
Judgment's
going to come. Like there's, you know, okay, God forgives us of our sins, but there's still going to be a time when we get to heaven and we got to answer for everything that we didn't do.
Intentionally didn't do.
He's going to be like, look, you're forgiven. You're coming into heaven, but you still need to stand before and you still need to be judged for this. Like that's a tough pill to swallow. Like a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but there's, you know, I imagine it almost like a giant IMAX theater, right? Like this is just me, thinking about it. And God's like, okay, this clip right here, you know, oh, you decided that, you know, it was better to have, you know, better coffee machines in your foyer than it was to give to, you know, the needy family in your church that needed help with Christmas.
Right.
So like if I know what God wants, but I don't and I choose not to do it and I choose to use the money for selfish gain or because I think it'll make my church cooler, like I'm going to have to answer to that with many blows. Like, really? Like where, you know what I'm saying? So you got to step up and think about that kind of
thing.
There's
consequences
like,
for everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So taking on a role such as a pastor or any ministry role for that matter, you know, then if you're doing things that is contrary to what God really wants you to do,
you're gonna have to pay for that. You're gonna have to, you know, because it, you know, the Bible talks about the blood is on your hands.
Yeah,
you know, that used to be my mom's favorite verse, like when I was a teenager and I didn't want to go to church.
Yeah.
Right. And she'd be like, nah, your blood is on my hands. You're going to church. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
You know, so, but you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm sure you've probably heard that. I'm sure probably Spare the Rod and Spoil the Child was another favorite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also sorely lacking in the world today. But we'll talk about that on another podcast.
Another topic.
So you just, you know, when you get into those kind of roles, even in any type of ministry, you know, if you're leading a small group and you're like, well, I'm not a minister, you know, but you're a small group leader. But if you say something that's contrary to the word and you lead somebody astray, dude, you got to answer to that.
You just became accountable to that.
Yeah, you got to, you know what I'm saying?
And that happens for everybody in your personal life, too, because how you portray yourself to your friends and stuff. And
absolutely,
close, close people around you, if you lead them astray by how you're acting, then that blows in your hands, too.
Yeah. So they say, like, if you take, I was reading a really interesting book, and they say if you take your five closest friends and you, like, average out the income, mm-hmm. like that's what you're going to be making. So like of your true closest friends. And so it's the same thing like with your attitude. If you take your five closest friends that you hang out with and median and average the typical attitude, mm-hmm. then that's that kind of attitude that you're going to carry. So if you're not right. hanging out with people, you know, now listen, I'm not trying to say like you cast away all the people that aren't close to God.
No.
But it's who you spend your time with. Who do you invest your time into?
Comes back to balance.
Exactly. You know, you're going to find like if you're hanging out with people that's on fire for God, guess what? You're going to probably want to be a little bit more on fire for God.
Right.
If you're hanging out with people that are just like, okay, I show up, you know, and I sit on a pew every Sunday and then I go home. Mm-hmm. Well, then guess what? That's probably you're what gonna you're going to. Yeah, that's how you're going to match.
Yeah.
So it's important that, you know, when much is given, much is required. Like when God says, hey, I want you to have this congregation, that's a lot, man. Yeah. That's, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever your church may be, their lives
you're in
your hands that you've got to answer for with how you led them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. your influence suddenly became...
Yeah, much more greater, much more... Yeah.
Maybe no value to priceless.
Yeah, a so, lot. Yeah.
You know, you've been entrusted.
That's scary.
It is scary. Yeah, I mean, because you know, you get a hate to say this, but you know, there are a lot of quote unquote ministers out there that are in this for the wrong reasons.
Oh,
mainstream
yeah.
ministers, by
the
way.
Yeah, yeah.
They can have narcissistic points of views, et cetera, and they're yeah. just very self-gaining, you know, so on. But this scripture here really draws that back into focus. Is like one day,
the amount,
yeah, of, you know, got to deal. Yeah, you yeah, got to deal with that, man.
I'll tell you what. I'll be honest. I want to be surprised when I'm standing in front of that judgment day. I want to be surprised and going, I didn't realize I did that.
Think about that. Right? Yeah, like I don't want
that one where it's like, oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I did do that. Oh man, I did that intentionally too.
Yeah, like I said no.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? Yeah. Like having to stand in front of God and be like, yeah, yeah,
yep,
I did say that.
Yeah.
I walked away. Like I remember, unfortunately, yeah. I remember yeah. some of those times in my life. And very early on in the pastorate, yeah. I remember telling God no.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out very well. Let me just tell you that right yeah. now. Did not turn out very well.
I mean, thank God there's grace, but it's not gonna,
absolutely.
But it's still but not it, going to change the.
Yeah, I was having
effects.
To answer for that. You know.
Yeah, the long
term
effects.
Yep.
Don't yeah. got to worry about hell, but you still got to answer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But well, let's get ready to conclude with this last scripture here. You know,
are we closing already?
Very soon. Yeah, yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, I'm pretty certain we're probably way past our time.
We're
but
keeping the church vibe alive.
But
darn,
you know what?
Long sermons. We should ask that.
No, but since darn. we're church of God, we got another hour and a half to go. So
absolutely,
we're good to go, right?
So since you're going to ask about that, listen. Here's my philosophy on that. See, what happens is when you preach your first sermon, you're only like 10 minutes. Okay, so the problem is you always are trying to overcompensate from that point on. So now it becomes 45, 40-minute sermons because you're like, oh, I'm never preaching 10 minutes again. I know right. better than that.
Right.
So you're always seeming to like overcompensate. But anyway, 30, 35 minutes I've realized with my congregation is like
yeah.
the limit. Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I will say about a podcast at least is if it's too much to handle.
They can pause it.
Pause it and come back to it later.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. sitting in a service, you're like,
gosh,
I've had my dose. I can't take no more. I mean, there's sometimes there's that, you know.
So people always ask, they're like, well, why do churches serve like coffee and donuts and stuff like that before service? Cause you know, we've started a hospitality ministry at mm-hmm. our church. I always tell people, cause they're like, Pastor, why did we start doing this? It's like, so you stay awake. If I feed you coffee and donuts, you're more willing to stay awake and listen. And yeah. And if I go a little long winded, well, guess what? You're okay. You've got breakfast in you, so your belly's not grumbling. You're okay.
You can't complain. We will make it to lunch.
Exactly.
Well, Mount Pleasant. If you didn't know, you know now.
Yeah, exactly. Coffee and stuff beforehand, and we always have a snack afterwards. Yeah. So
I think
hospitality ministry is one of our biggest growing. But you know what? Again, it goes back to what is a pastor. And it's us just doing life together. You know, yeah. I love people hanging out with, whether it's cookies or a piece of cake or whatever, just hanging out,
socializing,
talking, doing life. Like,
doing life.
You know, hey, how's your week? You know, what can I pray with you about? Like, I have seen, honestly, and this is crazy. This is feels bad for me as a pastor, but again, hey, we're transparent. I have seen more prayer in my foyer than I've seen in my altar some days. You know, because people didn't want to come up front.
Right.
But when Sister Sally says, hey, what's going on? Can I pray with you? Oh, yeah, I've been going through this. And all of a sudden you start seeing people lay hands in the foyer over a cup of coffee and a crumpet. It's like,
right. But whoa. Isn't that literally the definition of church? The early church?
Yeah,
was?
Absolutely. I mean, it absolutely is. And I love it, man. Yeah. I just love it. It's
outside
great.
The four walls.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's great. That's actually a really good testimony there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's wonderful. Awesome. Anyway, so in closing.
Yeah, closing. So Timothy, we're going to go to 2 Timothy.
In closing.
The second one.
Which you happen to be a 2 Timothy.
I am right? a 2 Timothy.
Yeah. I learned that tonight. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm a junior. Yeah. My wife said there would be no thirds. So I was like, that's okay. No worries.
So still
a little salty.
2 Timothy 4:2 is another very common scripture. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instructions.
Yes.
Your thoughts on that?
Yes. Preach the word. Yeah. You know what? That is more, again, this to me, this scripture goes back to my hour on a Sunday morning or however long services are or your sermon is more of a highlight, yeah. right? When I preach the word, it's not just about what I do on a Sunday morning.
Right.
When I preach the word, it's about wearing gear or wearing the armor of Christ in the grocery store, at right. Walmart, at
you outside know, the four walls.
Yeah, on the golf course, right? You know, what do? You're a pastor, and then you slice one into the water. Well, what does the pastor say? Right? You know what I'm saying? People are really engaged and like, oh,
how are you actually outside
yeah,
the church?
Right. right.
What's you your real what personality? Saying?
So to me, that's preaching the word. Like right. the way that you live, it's not just what you talk, but truly the way you live. And so be prepared in season and out of season. Dude, that's like, I mean, that's what we do. You never know who you come in contact with.
Right.
Again, at Walmart, who needs prayer, at the golf course, at the dry cleaners, you know, in season and out of season. And then, you know, correct, rebuke. Yeah. You know, look,
it's necessary.
Absolutely. You know, there's some people that they're going through a rough time, you know, this time of the year. But sometimes we got to correct and we got to rebuke them and go, you're handling it the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to. And you got to encourage them. But yet it all comes down to me, this last sentence, with great patience and careful instruction. Mm. We got to have patience with people, man. Like sometimes, you know, as pastors, we can be so impatient. You know, one of the things that I gets on my nerves and people are slowly starting to realize this. Don't you dare walk past me Sunday mornings coming into the sanctuary. Like I stand at the door and I greet every person that comes into my sanctuary on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I'm talking to somebody else. Like I will hunt you down and find you for a hello and a hug. Like don't just walk past me and they'll go, oh, but you were talking. I can multitask. I can say hello and shake your hand and still continue a conversation. But you got to have patience with everybody.
Right. Yeah, you do know? You do realize that some kid is going to make this their mission to make you.
Oh, to try to run past? Oh, they do. They do. But I will track them down for the fist bump or whatever, and right. it's fine.
You just see there's the door bust open.
The only way that it happens is like if you come in after 10:30, okay? Like if you come in, you know, and I've already started – then I usually don't like, but I mean, it could, if somebody wants to test me, I might just stop the service and like walk back down and be like, hey, good morning. Good to see you.
Right.
Like I'm that kind of guy. I'll do that. But again, it comes down to having patience with people.
Right.
Sometimes on Sunday mornings, and I know pastors have so much to think about and we do, we've got sermons to get ready for, but that doesn't mean that I can't say good morning to all of my congregation.
Yeah, be personable.
And, you know,
show you care.
Talk to people. Exactly. You know, be with them. Have great patience. But then again, it comes down to careful instruction. You know, and that's what we do. We give that careful instruction. We should be giving careful instruction. But that also is, again, I can give you instructions, right? I can give you a Lego set with instructions, but now what are you going to do with it? You got to take that Lego set home and build it, right? So if I give you the instructions, that still means that you need to take those instructions home and apply it to your life. What does that scripture really say to you? You know, I tell my congregation all the time, like, look, when I give you a verse, I read the chapter before, the chapter that it's in, and the chapter after. I want to see it in context. And I encourage them to go home and do the same thing. Like, get the context of what that verse means. You know, I'm saying it in this particular light because maybe it fits better with a topic, but I want you to still understand and know, like, everything that's going on. So again, it's that careful instruction, and what do you do with the instruction?
Absolutely. Which all comes back to blood on your hands, depending on how you handle this particular verse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, those two scriptures are, I think, there's many other scriptures, but those two scriptures are very pivotal
to the role of the pastor.
The role of the pastor, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Very. Like, I'll be honest, when you sent me, you know, kind of an outline of, like, what we were talking about, and I saw those two verses, I was like, wow, like, we're getting into this, which is completely awesome, because a lot of times, you know, pastors are like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to read that because
it's too real.
It applies to us.
Yeah, it hits home too hard, too
absolutely.
Fast.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you bring this to a close.
Church of God style. It's the third time we said it.
maybe another 15 minutes. Anyways,
I was working on that. Thank you. I'll have to show you a meme about that, by the way, later. Okay. We'll have to share that with you.
Yeah.
We may put it up on Dove's Edge wall. We'll see.
Oh boy.
Anywho,
what would you say? What would your statement be to any upcoming pastor that's either getting ready to take on the role or thinking about taking a role? What would you say to encourage them in a single statement? You kind of said a lot already.
Yeah.
But how would you take all that and wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
You know, a warning, you know, a encouragement, all the above.
Okay, cool.
What would you actually say?
Fantastic. All right. I'm going to try to not ignore you for a moment, but I'm going to, again, turn to the camera so that I can have that eye contact.
Nothing to worry about here.
Yeah. Young pastor, soon to be pastor. Take it from somebody that's been doing this. You know, like I said, I'm only here 2 years, but listen. Listen and trust God. That is the biggest thing that I can tell you right now. If he has put that call on your life and that is what you feel led to do, and you get into it and you question yourself, you're wondering why, go back to what it is that God gave you. What did he call you? What did he tell you in this moment? And always focus on that. Because when the criticism comes, when the depression comes, this is what you'll always remember, and this is what's going to help snap you back out of it when you remember the call that God has placed on your life.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that was great. There's so much that could probably be taken from this. I hope that whoever listens to it, they're probably going to listen to it more than once, almost half.
I hope so.
You would have to catch everything.
Yeah, there's a lot to glean from.
Feel free to pause.
This is just part one.
Yeah, right?
I did mention 15 parts, didn't I?
Yeah, please.
This is our 15-part series.
I hope you guys will invite me back for other things, because this was absolutely incredible. I had fun.
Yeah.
Even if I'm just on Isaiah's side, like, next time. But this was really fun.
No, you can gladly be on my side.
I appreciate it. This was great. This was great.
One of the things we're really trying to press for here is to kind of broaden the horizon of viewpoints.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why
we got to get some Southern Baptists on here.
Oh yeah, yeah,
definitely.
Ask them about their meals.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a feeling they're going to teach us a few things about fried chicken, but
I believe it. Well, I don't know.
Fried chicken.
My grandma's fried chicken. I tell you anyway.
Oh, man.
Hey, it's dinner time. I don't know what time you all going to be watching this, but it's about dinner time for us.
It's definitely dinner time for us. So we're going to be wrapping this up, Church of God.
Well, we'll wrap this and
our fifth closing. Said,
and with that said, let's take up an offering. I'm just kidding. Anyway. Oh, that's horrible.
Hallelujah.
I felt the spirit on that. No, it's good.
Uh-huh.
in reality, you know, definitely don't forget to like and subscribe. Kind of an added note. Again, Tim, just remind them where your church is at.
Yes.
Even the address, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Mount Pleasant Church of God, Smithsburg, Maryland, 24107 Foxville Road. We are right off of Route 77 on the top of the mountain. You get to our church, you're going downhill both directions.
So it's true.
It is true.
It's very true.
It is true.
Literally, you miss it, you're going downhill.
Yeah,
and that is not a, that is not a prophecy. No.
It's all downhill from there, brother.
We are the light of the mountain. We are the top of the hill.
It's the only people that have power up there.
And I love it. Yeah, I love the top of the mountain. Yeah, it's such a beautiful area.
It is very beautiful up there.
But yeah, we feed you, so you know that's a plus.
Yeah, so definitely
spiritually and physically. Yeah. Okay,
so if you're in the area, definitely check
them
out.
Don't have a home church, like you know, check us out on Facebook as well, Mount Pleasant COG. We'd you know love to see you. I'd love to have you in service. There's always room for one more center, so come on down. It's great.
Awesome. All right. Until next time, y'all have a good night.
Till next time.